For the record, present are Representatives Coring, Harris, Rokeberg, Coghill, Berkowitz, and Fertula. Representative McGuire is en route and will be here hopefully by this morning's floor session. With that, we're going to take up House Bill 121, Service Areas and Second Class Boroughs. I understand we have a representative from the sponsor's office here to make a basic presentation of what the bill is, so we have an outline. And for the record, welcome to the Rules Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Casey Schroeder, and I'm a legislative aide for Representative Thomas, and I'm also one of the committee aides for the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee. And basically, the background behind this bill is that when the state revenue sharing program was in place, residents that lived out in subdivisions outside of city limits were able to set up service areas, and they relied on revenue sharing money to service these areas. But now that the revenue sharing program is over, some of these areas are not taxing themselves adequately enough to provide services to their areas. So with the lack of services, the roads are deteriorating and becoming unsafe. And it's also important to keep in mind that these service areas are not separate legal entities from the borough. Therefore, the borough bears the ultimate financial responsibility for these service areas. But at the same time, by statute, they can't assess a borough-wide tax and apply it to these specific service areas. So while the borough bears ultimate financial responsibility, they lack the power to dissolve or otherwise remedy the problems that exist when service areas are not adequately maintaining their roads. So what House Bill 121 does is it allows second-class boroughs to consolidate or abolish service areas that are not adequately providing services, but at the same time, it protects those service areas that are functioning like they're supposed to and providing services to their roads. So that's basically what it does.
Very good. Any questions of the presenter? Seeing none at this time, I know there is an amendment on the table before we take further testimony. Do you want to put the amendment before us in discussion? Or it might be more appropriate.
Where's the amendment?
Do you have another amendment, Representative Harris, or... I think it would be appropriate to have that so we can discuss it. And Representative Coring, sir. Amendment number one?
Amendment number one.
I'll object. For the purposes of the discussion.
The amendment's before us, so I want to open the public testimony on the bill and the amendment before us. With that, I'd like to hear from, we have four questions. Representatives from the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, Department of Law, and also additional questions. And then we have Representative Newman here also. Representative Newman, would you care to testify? Or, excuse me, Representative Stoltz. Welcome to the Rules Committee. For the record, sir.
Chairman, Bill Stoltz, represent District 16, a district that has the first largest homeroom municipality and also has a second-class borough. And that latter part, the reason I'm here today. I've had a lot of history on the issue of service areas, and I appreciate the initial testimony of Representative Thomas's aide, but service areas has a more illustrative history in other parts of the state. Municipality of Anchorage, it was tenuous, that established service areas was a part of a tenuous agreement that was essential to unification. And of course, this legislation doesn't affect the home rule of municipality of Anchorage. Service areas have been a very effective tool for areas such as the Matsubury, which have core areas and then spread out areas so that services can be tailored to the level of service desired within that community, and they've been a very effective tool. House Bill 13, which was pushed through by Senator Bundy, put the inside-outside requirement, and this legislation modifies that for second-class boroughs. With respect to the committee, I wanted to and the sponsors and advocates of the legislation and their intent to go after one of the largest second class, I guess the largest second class borough, Fairbanks, and some of the smaller boroughs that do have problems, concerns. I wanted to excise out a fairly large and growing area that doesn't have these attendant problems, and service areas are working just fine. Representative Newman and I, and to a large degree Representative Coring, represent service area districts outside of the core area that things are working just fine, and we'd like to be held harmless from the good intents of this legislation. And so we've tried to very surgically excise out the Mat-Su borough with the art of the language, kind of a double negative here that is required, because exempting from the exemption and with the rapid rate of the growth in the Mat-Su borough, the range in population, and tying it to a specific date, I'd be very hesitant to try to just tie a population, the Mat-Su borough, because next year it might not be relevant. So it's a fairly simple concept, but a little bit of the history and our concerns.
Representative Coghill and Harris, I believe.
Help me understand the nature of the service district. Isn't it a service district in the Mat-Su area, or is it I don't understand the whole working, but is that a unified service district, or are they service districts?
Chairman Rokeberg, Representative Coghill, there are numerous types of service districts, and some of them are road service, some of them are recreational, some of one in the Butte is a service district that I'm very intimately involved with, just dealing that set up a road service district that is assessed itself to deal with erosion problems. Again, segregating out a community, portion of the community, addressing local needs through a service area, which otherwise would be spread through a very localized problem that a community is able to deal with, a small section, but might not have any sympathy borough-wide. It's a very important tool.
President Harris, did you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes. Representative Stoltz, explain the amendment a little bit more to me here. I just want to make sure I'm reading this right. You have page 2, line 9, deleting all material. Do you mean deleting all material just on that line, or do you mean deleting all material all the way through the add-on to the amendment?
I just grabbed a copy of the bill with me. Yes, just Mr. Chairman, it's just that line.
Okay, so then line 10 would be left alone. So section or number 2, assembly first determines that the abolishment or consolidation is necessary. Blah blah blah. Reads on that way.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman,
thank you.
Further questions of Representative Coghill.
Trying to understand the reason for the exemption, and then I guess we'll get into the meat of the bill. The exemption is because what I'm trying to understand is if you had a service area that fell under one of the three criteria that this bill sets out, that is a financial or legal problem, or adequate service provision, or the abolishment because of adequate services, financial legal problems, or protect the finances of the borough. Has there ever been a time in this area where you've had a service area change or not even organized to the point where they, I think in the North Star borough, what the problem is you have some people that had a service district, and then when the money goes away, they didn't assess themselves, and so it was an empty shell of a service area. Other people couldn't even provide services within that area at that point. Is that something that could happen in your district?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Coghill, I think the service areas work very well. My basic intent of pushing this amendment is to allow me to support your bill and not have it wither away here or somewhere else through every effort I try, because I feel so strongly about this issue. I wanted to support your bill, but not harm my district. So that's the simplest way I can state my intent.
Follow-up?
I...
Representative Cartula.
Go ahead.
If there aren't any problems with the service areas in Mat-Su right now, though, you really wouldn't need an exemption from the bill because you wouldn't be meeting any of the tests of the bill, right? No financial problems. Other, and at some point in the future, maybe Mat-Su might need some of those things.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Cartula, I think those are fairly subjective. I think any assembly with an ordinance could probably, and a finance officer and could probably come up with that there was criteria that there was a more cost-efficient way. I've certainly fought those battles trying to protect my fire service area in Chugiak, trying to explain to my constituents, and certainly that's a home rule municipality, because there was a transition and some very powerful entities that wanted to transform my local fire service areas. They said we're going to somehow it was going to be better in the city's finances by abolishing 100-person volunteer fire department and replace them with paid union folks. So, and that was certainly something that was rolling along. So, and that could have been done with a simple ordinance absent the protection of Senate Bill 13, which this statute amends. So, not to stray into other areas, but I think an assembly, a mayor with six votes or four votes in the Anchorage or four votes in the Mat-Su, certainly has a lot of ability.
Representative Berkowitz.
It was a belt and suspenders.
Yeah.
Elucidate on that, Representative Berkowitz, for the record.
Belt, something holds your pants up. Suspenders.
Got it.
Make sure the suspenders hold the belts up, right?
I believe it's a metaphor, Mr. Chairman.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the point I'm making is that if the assembly doesn't act under the way the bill is configured now, then the protections that Representative Stoltz is proposing are not necessary. So,
certainly.
What I wonder, though, is, and it's not, I don't imagine you're the correct person to answer this question, but there's some concern that this legislation runs afoul of the constitutional prohibition against specific legislation, and by making it even more narrow, that you're getting further into the wrong side of the Constitution.
So, Mr. Chairman, Representative Berkowitz, I'm sure we'll hear from the attorneys, and we haven't always shared their opinions. There were legal concerns presented in 2000, 2001, and the same person from the Department of Commerce was here under the other administration and was beating the heck out of us on the bill, and I don't know what her position is going to be today, so... I'm anxiously waiting to hear that.
Just for the record, that we do have two representatives from the Department of Commerce and Department of Law here to testify. So you want to direct those questions to those folks?
Yeah, just to make the point that sometimes it's not about the lawyers, but it's about the Constitution. The Constitution should be protected regardless of whether you like it or not.
Well, Chairman Rokeberg, Representative Berkowitz, I know, notwithstanding constitutional concerns expressed on Senate Bill 13, the governor signed the bill, and he certainly, it was probably after stringent legal review. And I think the arguments are always going to be there, and we...
For the questions of the witness. Seeing none, thank you very much, Representative Stoltz. Representative Newman, you had signed up. Did you wish to testify? Welcome to the Rules Committee, and for the record, sir.
Thank you, Representative Rokeberg. My name is Mark Newman. I represent District 15 in the Mat-Su Borough, state representative. I would just like to testify in support for Representative Stoltz's amendment to this. I have spoken to members of the Mat-Su Borough Assembly who also support this amendment. We feel that... Although I know personally I've sat through HB 121 in the CNRA, I do support HB 121. I voted to support that. But it just doesn't seem to work for all members or all communities like that. So I did take the time to ask our local borough assembly what they thought of it. I talked to borough assembly member Bill Allen, who told me that he's very familiar with service districts like that, and he felt that this would be something not too good for what the Matsu Borough has, and to opt out of that would be their approach.
Thank you. Any questions of the witness?
I should have asked Representative Stoltz, sure, too, but since it's his amendment. But what happens if, and I know this is, you know, date specific in 2005, but what happens if the population goes over 75,000? Is this just sort of a snapshot in time that we're dealing with here, or what's
Chairman Roekberg, Representative Harris, I would defer technical questions to Representative Stoltz like that. I just wanted to make sure that this committee was aware of the fact that I do support this, because I have spoken to my assembly members, and they support the amendment.
For the record, the member from Matt Valley was shaking his head in the affirmative to your question, Representative Harris.
I saw that.
Right. Any further questions of Representative Newman? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Chair.
Next, we'd like to hear from the Department of Commerce, Ms. Sadler or Ms. Ralston. Who would like to testify, or both? Or Ms. Sadler, please. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Sally Sadler, the legislative liaison for the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, and I'm really here to answer any questions that you might have.
There was a question I think Representative Harris just asked regarding the snapshot in time. Does the department publish a figure of population for the various boroughs, so there's we have a baseline point that we know this would be effective at?
I'm not sure with respect, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure with respect to the date, yes, but we do as a department publish population figures on an annual basis on our website that could be used.
Representative Bergman.
Are there any other boroughs that would be affected by the 65 to 75,000?
Through the chair, I'm not sure. Let me just, I don't believe there are. No, there are not.
Representative Bergman.
We'll follow up there. Are any even close?
Oh, I don't have my population list with me, but I'm seeing that no, there are not.
Okay.
I'm going to assume that the way the sentence structure is that the borough's population in 2005 would be a specific date and time. Therefore, it'd be static. It wouldn't evolve or change over time. That'd be the interpretation. Any further questions of the witness? Seeing none, thank you very much, Ms. Sadler. Does the department have a position on the bill or this amendment? Or?
Mr. Chairman, the department endorses any measures that give flexibility to local government to provide the delivery of services. We did raise an issue in House State Affairs from the standpoint that what this particular legislation does is give greater flexibility to those second-class boroughs than it does to home rule boroughs, and that's just certainly a point that we raise for your consideration.
Very good. Thank you very much. Ms. Vander, please. There's some time constraints. I understand there's just a caucus.
Brief minority caucus. Close to me. Problem.
Welcome to the committee, ma'am. For the record, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Margie Vander with the Department of Law. And I am here also just to answer questions.
Representative Cartula.
Thanks, and thanks for coming this morning. Well, in reading your opinion about the Senate bill that parallels the House bill, I have some real concerns about whether this bill, and particularly with this amendment that carves out an exemption to the exemption, is going to run afoul not only of the home rule powers for boroughs, but also about the restriction on special legislation, because I'm not understanding a justification for not applying the rule evenly across the board. So I just wondered if you could just maybe explain briefly those two issues and what the concerns would be about the legislation.
If I could interject, have you seen a copy of the amendment?
Yes, I have one. Thank you.
Please continue.
I think I'll go first to the special legislation issue because I think that's the most prevalent as to what change is being requested in this bill. And the amendment does actually make it more strict, with it carving out one borough, evidently. And with that, there doesn't seem to be any rational basis upon which to exempt one borough from all of the general law boroughs, of which there's really only seven of those in the state. There are nine home rule boroughs, and they're completely left out of this, to allow just one borough, a second-class borough, to not have the flexibility and then have six of them have the flexibility. There doesn't seem to be any basis for it except that one borough doesn't want the flexibility, but that is special legislation. That's exactly what the test is, and that is that there has to be a rational basis to exempt this one general law borough from the requirements of the municipal service areas addressed in the bill. And population doesn't seem to be the basis upon which to allow a more strict exemption.
Follow-up?
No, thanks.
Representative Coggins.
I sure appreciate your opinion, and in my mind, trying to figure out what other boroughs might have in the service district makeup. Sorry that I wasn't in on CNRA's hearing on this, but certainly the second-class borough in Fairbanks has a specific issue that they're trying to address. I think that's one of the issues.
That's my understanding.
But could this be broadly applied to all of the districts, that if you had service area that was abandoned for some other reason, is there legal issues that they also would need the flexibility to say, if you have a service area designed and then refuse to manage it, that they could consolidate it? Do other boroughs fall into that category?
Through the chair, Representative Coghill, well, yes, they would. And this is a power given to a borough. Service areas have no powers except as voted in, and they are not the legal representative that can be sued. So it is always going to be back to the borough to have the power to deal with their service areas. And so certainly, depending on what the service area was designed to perform, and if funds are not available or there's a suit against the borough because of the service area, then that is something that certainly the flexibility to deal with that would be allowed back on the borough. Why this restricts that flexibility of second-class boroughs, which is a general law borough, and not extended to home rules is, of course, our other area of concern. Since home rules are a very, they are meant to be a very independent and very powerful type of new municipality, and you really look to their charter for their organic law. You don't look to Title 29. So that is why that, and we have always held the position, even in earlier years, that this particular statutory change that occurred after several efforts that to put home rules under this and restrict them as to how they deal with their local service areas is truly a matter of local concern. And just to clarify a point, that when this bill finally was allowed to become law, it was vetoed in 2000. It was allowed to become law in 2001 or 2002. They did take out the population restriction the second time around, because that was most certainly another concern we had even back then, that was special legislation, because they narrowed it down to one borough in that case again.
Representative Berkowitz.
And I'm going to move on to another area here, which is, I have some question about statutory definitions. Title 29, for the most part, refers to the borough by ordinance conducting certain actions. And here in this amendment, and also in the bill itself, it talks about if the assembly determines. And I'm not quite certain why we're shifting from the borough by ordinance to the assembly determining. I'm not sure what determine means, and I was wondering if you had any insight into that question.
Through the chair, Representative Berkowitz, I don't have an insight as to why they chose the word determines, but a second-class borough can only take action through an ordinance, so it by default it would have to be an ordinance.
Well, then if I could follow up here, if you don't have an assembly, what happens? Secondly, what does determine mean? Frequently, the legislature might determine things informally, not by bill, not by resolution, but there's determinations made to, for example, send a bill to a certain committee, and that's a determination that's made. And I'm a little concerned about changing the terms that are used usually in Title 29, which is borough and by ordinance, and here shifting to assembly and determines. So more of speech to the rest of the committee for some thought and perhaps some language changes.
Any comments or questions of the witness? Mr. Berkowitz, do you have any suggestions?
I believe there's an amendment pending right now.
That's correct. But do you want to amend the amendment?
If it's necessary, I'll wait. Otherwise, we'll just amend the bill.
So you don't wish to offer an amendment to the amendment?
Not an amendment to the amendment.
Okay.
But if the amendment passes, then I will offer an amendment.
Very good. Any further questions of the witness? Thank you very much. Any further discussion on the amendment before us? The objection maintained on the amendment. The objection is maintained.
Yes.
Is there any further discussion on the amendment? The clerk call the roll, please.
Representative Coring.
Yes.
Representative Berkowitz.
No.
Representative Krutula.
No.
Representative Harris.
Yes.
Representative Coghill.
Yes.
Chair Roachberg.
Yes. The amendment is adopted by the committee. Representative Berkowitz.
Thank you. I'd move then on, for brevity's sake, on line 6 of the amendment, delete assembly first determines and insert the borough by ordinance determines.
Any objection to the amendment number 2, Representative Harris?
I object just briefly. I'd like a little more of an explanation from the maker of the amendment. Why the change?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. First of all through, if I could, Mr. Chair, all through Title 29, I looked through it and I didn't see many references, certainly in the section related to second-class boroughs, discussion of anything but the borough. There was no discussion of assembly in that section. Secondly, anytime the borough made a decision, it was done by ordinance. It wasn't just through a determination. That's an uncertain term that I guess would have to go through all kinds of, or could pose some legal problems farther down the road. And that's why I think the borough by ordinance is the phrase that's used throughout Title 29, and it's the phrase that ought to be used in this amendment.
So was your, if I remember right, was your amendment the borough by ordinance determines?
The borough by ordinance determines. And that would be, in essence, just deleting assembly first.
Yeah. Okay. No objection.
Clerk, have the amendment number 2. Is the objective maintained to amendment number 2? Seeing them, amendment number 2 is adopted. What's the will of the committee?
Chairman.
Representative Harris.
We move from committee SCS for House Bill 121 CRA as amended with individual recommendations and any fiscal notes that may be around.
Any objections?
I'm going to object.
Objections. Representative Cartula.
I think that, you know, if we backed up, we might be able to write a law of general applicability so that all boroughs have this authority if we make it strict enough that they could dissolve the service areas. But by making it special and then making it even specialer on top of it without any justification in the record, I think it's unconstitutional. So I'm going to have to object and vote against it. I mean, I see the problem. I'm sympathetic to it. I just don't think the bill was well structured.
Representative Berkowitz.
Yeah, and what's going to wind up happening, in my experience, is the legislature will appropriate a lot of money to a lot of lawyers to fight this in court instead of appropriating money to, say, classrooms or putting it in the permanent fund or using it to pay other worthy causes. And I frankly think that if the choice is spending money for lawyers or spending money for students, you've got to choose students. And we're just inviting money for lawsuits right now.
I would just say that the Rules Committee was taking its action this morning. We had a good debate. I think the sponsors of the bill and those interested in the legislation take a serious look at this legislation and see if any further work needs to be done on it before it's calendared. With that, would the clerk read the roll? We have before us the movement of the bill out of committee.
No.
Representative Krutula?
No.
Representative Harris?
Yes.
Representative Coghill?
Yes.
Representative Coring?
Yes.
Representative Roachberg?
Yes. The bill passes and moves out of committee. Please sign the bill file. And with that, the Rules Committee is adjourned at 9:27.
Do a little bit of study on that.